Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 339th edition of SDG, Sola Dei Gloria. And the title of today's message, it's rather simple. It's just the Antichrist revealed. We're going to focus on some information that St. Paul shared with the Thessalonians in his second letter to them, chapter 2. You know, folks, it's so crucial that we understand these things if we're going to be aware and if we're going to realize the lateness of the hour. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but the very presence and power of the Holy Spirit within the body of Christ is the only thing that keeps Satan from absolutely wreaking devastation, destruction, and mayhem over this earth right now. Absolute dominion, in a sense, you know? So the question we ought to be asking ourselves is, what happens when the church is raptured? Well, I'll tell you what happens. The way's cleared for Satan's right-hand man, the Antichrist, to be revealed. Now, in this message, what we're going to do is reveal the Antichrist, who none of us would ever want to meet, okay? And just take a peek into the future that we really don't want to experience. We don't, folks, I'm telling you. So like I said, we're going to focus on the second letter that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. And this concerns the return of our King Jesus. You know, Jesus is coming, praise the Lord.
And I'm telling you, this is an actual and literal event. And there's a lot of people that try to spiritualize it. I'm talking liberal Christians that say, oh, this is when you get born again, Jesus returns. Or this is when you die, Jesus returns. No, 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 no. Those are not what the scriptures are talking about here. I've talked about that in some of these last messages in this Return of the King series. But it's a literal, actual event that's about to happen. And I'm telling you, if you get your mind around that, this is a thrill beyond comparison. I mean, what could compare to this? Jesus is coming back. So like I said last week, we ought to be living each day as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is returning this afternoon. Amen? Because you know what? He may just do that, folks. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Like St. John wrote in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Now listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. It's coming, folks. Paul thought that back then. I want to tell you a little story about this man from New York. You know, he was a guy that worked in the city, and he lived out in Long Island, and he always wanted this barometer that this establishment called Abercrombie and Fitch sold, and he always wanted it. So he finally got enough money together, and he bought this very expensive barometer. It was carefully calibrated, handcrafted, a beautiful thing to tell the weather. That's what he wanted it for. So he got home. He was so excited that it had come in. He unpacked it. He placed it up in a prominent place on his mantle, and then he looked at the needle, and it was pointing to a warning of a hurricane. So he tapped on it, you know, he shook it, and the needle wouldn't move. And he said to his wife, you know, I must have gotten a defective barometer. We saved up for this thing. We wanted it. Just think how much I paid for this thing, and it's broken. It's not working. Like I said, he lived in Long Island, and he was commuting to the city each day by train. And so next morning, he wrote a scathing letter to Abercrombie and Fitch for selling them this defective barometer, you know. And he sent it off, went to work, got home that night on Long Island. And guess what? The barometer was gone, but his house was too, because that was 1938, the year the great hurricane swept through New York. So folks, there wasn't anything wrong with that barometer. He just refused to believe what it was indicating. A storm, a huge, huge storm, a hurricane was coming. And just like that barometer, there's nothing wrong with the Word of God, folks. Nothing. It doesn't need an adjustment. It only needs to be believed. Folks, I'm telling you, God's word's telling us right now that a great storm is coming. In fact, it's the granddaddy of all hurricanes, and it's called the Great Tribulation. And God's word warns us about the rise of this man, the man of sin, also known as the Antichrist. Now, this is none other than Satan in human form. Now, I believe he's already here waiting in the wings to be introduced to the entire world as its savior. And the Bible calls him the beast. The Bible has several names for him. Another one is the man of sin, the son of perdition. These are all in addition to this term, the Antichrist. Now, anti, and I've told you this before, anti has two meanings. And this is very important to understand. It means both against, which most people know, you know. But people don't realize that the other term, that this word anti, or this prefix anti implies, is in place of. Now, Paul's the only writer in the Bible who uses the term Antichrist, but it's still crucial to understand the character, purpose, and person known as the beast or the Antichrist. So remember, it has this dual meaning. Okay? And here's another thing, folks. We've got to be aware of this. In these modern versions of the Bible, it's being mistranslated. In fact, in the CEV, okay, it's being translated as the enemy of Christ. In fact, the CEV doesn't use the term Antichrist even once. Now, if you use the term enemy of Christ instead of Antichrist, you'll never grasp the dual meaning. You'll know that it's someone in opposition to, but you won't understand that it's also someone who comes in place of. So Paul's warning us, this is a very diabolical man, and we need not be ignorant on this matter. Now, here's a little background. Just a little background on our focus scripture. And by the way, folks, if I have some time, I'm going to get into a little more detail on that whole thing in the CEV. Okay, because it's really bothering me how these modern translations are taking so much context out of the out of the meaning of God's word. So here's a little background on our focus scripture out of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Paul was telling them that Jesus is coming, and don't get upset, don't be shaken. Now, the reason they were shaken is because a fake letter had circulated claiming to be from Paul, telling them that they were in the great tribulation. So Paul says this in verses 2 and 3. He says, that you be not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So these folks in Thessalonica, they were afraid that they missed the rapture. And Paul used this lie from some imposter, to teach them the truth. And what he did here in this passage, which was teach them six powerful truths that reveal the nature of this Antichrist, and also a little bit about the end times. So let's look at these six truths. And I listed them in the banner. So there's a mockery of God, and he recounts that mockery of God. And there's a mystery of iniquity, and it's restrained right now. And we talked about that when I opened. And there's this ministry of the Spirit. It's going to be removed. And when it is, look out, you know, because at that point, this fourth truth, the mastery of Satan, is going to be released. And that's when the misery of man is redoubled. But hold on, because there's good news at the end, folks. The sixth and final truth here in this passage from Paul is that the majesty of Jesus will be revealed. So let's look at these six truths and try to understand a little bit more what's going on in these crazy, crazy times. First of all, let's look at this mockery of God. Let's recount it, okay, because Paul did here. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll read those to you now. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. So folks, there's this day coming when God's going to be mocked by Satan for all the world to see. A day when Satan will fling his final insult into the face of our King Jesus. And that's going to happen here very soon, folks. And this agent of his, the Antichrist, he's going to be the one who delivers these insults. And that's none other than the man of sin from verse 3. And like I said, this man of sin, he has numerous aliases from the Bible. You know, in the Bible, we see him referred to as the man of lawlessness, the incarnation of wickedness, the champion of wickedness, and wickedness in human form. So I'm saying it's fair to say this man, the incarnation of Satan himself, is the epitome of evil. All demonic has been distilled down into him. And now in the same verse, he's called the son of perdition, and perdition means judgment. So remember, Jesus said that he's already been judged, John 16:11. And now he's facing the divine destruction of his judgment that's already been executed. Now we've got to understand that Satan's the great imitator. In fact, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he called him God's ape. Now, his desire and ambition was, as it has always been since the fall, to be like God. I'm going to read you Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Folks, did you hear that? He wants to be like the Most High God. Remember that prefix anti has two meanings, not one. It means both against and instead of. So the second meaning is so crucial to completely understand the nature of Antichrist. Now, some modern translations, like I said, are completely replacing Antichrist. And the CEV did with the enemy of Christ. And I do want to cover this, and I want to have enough time, but if you read 1 John, first letter of John, chapter 2, verse 18 in the CEV, the contemporary English version, it reads, "Children, this is the last hour. You heard that the enemy of Christ would appear at this time, and many of Christ's enemies have already appeared." So we know that the last hour is here. Okay, now, if you read that like that, and you really don't understand Bible prophecy, and you don't understand God's story, his story, history, you're going to say, oh, these are people that are opposed to Christianity. Now, compare to what it says in the King James. Okay, same passage. Little children, this is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time? Okay, you have this word Antichrist. Then you do your word study on the first one. You have enemy of Christ. Well, it's pretty clear what an enemy of Christ is. But when you read Antichrist, you have to say, what's this word anti mean? So you look it up and you say, oh, it's got two meanings. It means against and in place of. So my point is here that there are these end times when in place of, you're going to have people come claiming to be the Christ spirit, you know, the Christ spirit that Oprah Winfrey embraces. And you see in that crazy theosophy that Madame Blavatsky made popular with her magazine, Lucifer. By the way, it's now the Lucis Trust, and you can look that up on the internet, and they'll talk all about this Christ spirit. Well, that's that second element of the anti, in place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Search for this on the internet and see if it's not true. So I'm telling you, folks, this beast who will be against Christ will also present himself as Christ. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. Just as Jesus said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen my Father. The Antichrist is going to be able to say the same about his father, Satan. But he's going to make you think it's God at Most High. So I'm telling you, this is literally Satan in human flesh. He's always wanted to be worshipped by man. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And remember what he said with that burning anger in Isaiah 14:14. I will be like God. He wants to be worshipped, folks. And I'm saying he may be here right now, waiting to be revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, folks, this is the mockery of God, and it's being recounted here by Paul. Now, let's look at the second point, and I call that the mystery of iniquity restrained, or it's restraining this power, this dark, deep power. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, and now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So there's something restraining the Antichrist. And listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this word letteth, it actually means restrained. So Paul's saying the mystery of iniquity is already at work. That was back in his time. It was being restrained. And it's still being restrained. And it's very crucial to understand this, this whole concept of the mystery of iniquity. And a picture a coin. You know, a coin has a front and a back, a head and a tail. Well, the mystery of iniquity is the same way as a coin. Okay? Just as the prefix, the prefix anti has two meanings, well, the mystery of iniquity has two meanings. On one side of that coin, you have Lucifer, the angel of light, coming as the false religion, the false Christ, in place of Jesus. And then on the other side of that same coin, the mystery of iniquity, you have Satan, the dragon, coming against God, roaring like a lion, seeking whom may devour. You know what I'm saying? Dark, deep, dastardly deeds, you know? Anybody could see that's bad. Okay, my friends, it's the mystery of iniquity. The true meaning of Antichrist, who at this moment is being restrained. So there's this light side and this dark side. And don't forget, Lucifer's minions, they also come as ministers of righteousness. So the question we have to ask ourselves, whose righteousness? Remember what Paul warned the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 11, verses 14 and 15. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So just beware, folks, because very soon, there's going to come a day when the mystery of iniquity is no longer restrained. And then look out. You don't want to be here. Because at that point, the ministry of the Spirit, the third truth in this passage, is removed. Let's read verses 7 and 8. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So there was a phrase in there. So he who lets, meaning he who restrains, will be taken out of the way. Now remember that word he? Just remember it for a minute and I'm going to get back to it. Plus notice that term wicked. If you look in the King James, it's capitalized. And that means the wicked one, the one we've been studying here, the Antichrist. So from verse 8, then shall the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, destroy, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now look back at the 6th verse there, okay? If you have your Bibles open, look at it. And now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, what's the key word right there? So there's a what in verse 6, restraining the man of sin, and then in verse 7, that what's personified as he, with a capital H. So there's this what and this he who are restraining this man of sin. Now here's the key to this puzzle, if these two verses are puzzling you, and they shouldn't. In verse 6, it's speaking to the church, and in verse 7, it's speaking to the Holy Spirit. And now where does the Holy Spirit abide? Well, Paul tells us in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 16, remember, know ye not that ye, that's you and me, folks, who love Jesus, who are saved, who are born again. Ye are the temples of God. Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Folks, are you getting this? So as long as the church remains here on earth, the Antichrist cannot have his full power. Remember, God's going to pour his wrath out upon the earth. But first, his bride, the Church of Philadelphia, as I like to call it, the only one in the report card of the church is out of second and third chapters of Revelation. Got the the good report, okay? That bride is not appointed to wrath. Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, how? By our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see Jesus warning the church in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, when he says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of man. Now note this grave warning from Jesus if we lose our saltiness. That's pretty serious. To be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men? Whoa, would you want that to happen to you? What's salt supposed to do? Okay, well, we know it flavors. It penetrates into the food if you soak something in brine like pickles. Terry loves making pickles, so it preserves them. But it also cleanses and purifies. You can use salt to clean. It's in a lot of the natural books. You can use salt to clean along with vinegar and things like that, and it purifies. So when you take salt out of the equation, corruption moves in. Just look at our schools and governments. Wouldn't you say that the salt's gone? So the Holy Spirit of God is literally living in the vessels or bodies of the abiding believers, those clinging to the vine like the branches do. And together we constitute the bride, or like I like to call it, the Church of Philadelphia. So the Holy Spirit, who is the he in verse 7, has two ministries here. First, he's to help the saints, those in the church. And secondly, to hinder Satan, or empower the church to hinder Satan in a sense. We're not doing a very good job of that right now, are we, folks? That's pretty sad. Now remember, God allows Satan to have some power, but not all power. And we know that from the story of Job. Remember, God restrained just how far Satan could go with Job and all the misery he put him in. So we could say that Satan's on a short leash, so to speak. Amen? Now, the ministry of the Spirit will be removed at the rapture of the church when Jesus comes back for his bride. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit won't be here anymore, because we know from Psalm 139, verse 8, it's written, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art here. So the point is, God's everywhere. But the power of the Holy Spirit to manifest through the church, the bride of Christ, it's going to be taken out. That's the what of verse 6, remember? So when the bride's raptured, the Holy Spirit will stand aside, so to speak. And the mystery of iniquity will no longer be restrained. So he can take off that mask that false persona, you know, that angel of light. He can be his dastardly demonic self. And there's going to be nothing here to restrain this flood of filth and cruelty and horror. Just imagine it. Folks, I'm telling you, it's going to be easier to dam Niagara Falls with boxes of toothpicks than to try to stop this flood of wickedness. It's just going to permeate this world. Picture trying to flood the to dam Niagara Falls. Just bring all the toothpicks you want. Truckloads. Just bring truckloads and try to dam the Niagara Falls with toothpicks. I'm telling you, it'd be easier to do that than stop this flood of wickedness. It's coming. Next. And this is kind of just leading into that when you think about it. So the church is raptured. The restraining power of the Holy Spirit's removed. Now you've got the mastery of Satan released here. That's the fourth truth. And we're going to read verses 7 through 10. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and sins and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a terrifying passage right here. This will be none other than Satan incarnate is going to receive his power directly from Satan. He is, folks. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Folks, this man who is the incarnate being of Satan himself is going to have immense intellectual power. He's going to have an overpowering authority, extraordinary hatred, yet superb charismatic techniques, you know. Men are going to be willing to die for him. Women will swoon at his feet. He'll always have a beautiful woman in his arm. And children in schools across the world, they're going to revere him, you know. And those who remain in the world are both going to marvel and wonder at the beast. Listen to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. There it is. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Folks, we've got to understand that this term beast isn't describing his outward appearance. No. It's an expression of his inward character. So he's going to look very suave, very sophisticated. And this beast is literally the Antichrist, the second person of Satan's copied Trinity. You know, he has his unholy Trinity, just like God, the Godhead has the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, as I like to say. Well, just like God has that, Satan mocked it, mimicked it, okay, aped it, as Luther said, okay. So Satan has his unholy trinity. The dragon is Satan himself. The Antichrist is the beast or his version of the sun. And the false prophet, that's Satan's minister of propaganda, so to speak, who's probably the mainstream media today, is used in a very similar fashion to what the Holy Spirit does among a body of believers. So the false prophet will cause those whose names are not written in the book of life to fall down and worship this beast, also known as the Antichrist, just like the Holy Spirit moves us to worship Jesus. Now, does that sound like something the media is capable and equipped to accomplish? Just think of like some of the things that people flock to on television, like NFL football and their superstars, or American Idol, and all the frenzy associated with that. You know, that's being relaunched here, I think, on Sunday night. We had the Super Bowl a few weeks ago. You get my point? The media, especially through television, is so powerful. So powerful to sway people like that. Now this beast, this lawless one, the Antichrist, it's going to ride into the world, the spotlight of the world, with fame and fortune. And a key plank to his political platform is going to be peace. He's going to be preaching peace, world peace. Listen to what Daniel said in chapter 8, verses 23 through 25. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors or come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, means he's going to have that power imputed to him by none other than Satan. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. That's us, folks. He's going to try to, at least. But praise the Lord, Jesus is coming back for us. And through his policy, also, he shall cause craft to burn his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, and that's Jesus, but he shall be broken without hand. So here Daniel opens up by talking about the reign of certain kings during a time of transgression. Doesn't that sound like what we're going through right now? Then Daniel says, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. So in the midst of all this weird stuff that's going on right now with global economics and Kim Jong-un and stuff in the Middle East and Russia and their mega bomb and missile, in the midst of all that, a king of fierce countenance is going to stand up. Now, this phrase fierce countenance means not being able to stand up against him. No one can stand up to him. And that phrase, understanding dark sentences, means he's going to be very versed in the occult. And look at all the stuff that's going on right now with that, with Clinton and the people in politics and what they're doing with dark magic. It's there, folks. All you have to do is study it. Then in verse 24, Daniel writes, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And then, folks, this means, like I said, his power is coming from none other than Satan himself. And then Daniel goes on to say, and he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty. They're the ones set apart by God, the chosen people, the Hebrews, also known as the Israelites, wrongly called by many people today, the Jews. And then in verse 25, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Do you see that or hear that? By peace, he's going to destroy many. This is crazy. I'm telling you, this Antichrist will come as an imitator of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. So he's going to make this peace treaty. He's going to do it with Israel. And the Jews, they're going to say, our Messiah has come, you know? And it's amazing, but Jesus knew they'd do this. He told us that in John chapter 5, verse 43. He said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him he will receive. That's what he was talking about. Jesus was prophesying about this time that Daniel wrote about, that St. Paul warned the Thessalonians of, that St. John told us about in Revelation. Now, here's a twist. When they finish it, he'll enter into this temple that they helped him build, you know. So the Messiah is going to come form the union with Europe. He's going to make a peace with Israel. He's going to help him build the temple. And then this twist. They get that temple all done. They put the last finishing touches on it. And they think they're going to start worshiping, you know, making sacrifices again and worshiping their God. And he's going to walk in and say, worship me. I am God. And then what is he going to do to prove it? He's going to do all sorts of lying signs and wonders. He's even going to turn on God's people with this unspeakable wrath. You know, Jeremiah tells us about it in chapter 30, verse 7. And here it's written, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So this is what's known as the time of Jacob's troubles. And this, listen to what Jesus warned us about concerning this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. Such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we've got to realize first that this devil has power to work miracles, and he's going to work them through the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 reads, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, you may be listening to me right now and saying, well, you know, Bro Ken, I wouldn't believe his lie. Well, if you reject the gospel and fail to abide in Jesus as branches abide in the vine, if you fail to grasp that truth, folks, I promise you, you will buy this lie. Just listen to what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. So if you didn't receive the love of the truth, folks, you're perishing in the deceivableness of unrighteousness. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Hey, folks, I didn't say this. I'm just reading you what God wrote. Okay? So you think you're going to be able to withstand this if you're left behind? I guarantee you won't, because God shall send you a strong delusion that you believe a lie. Now, if you don't buy all this, if you don't think the devil can actually work miracles, then just listen to this scripture out of Revelation chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. You see how these scriptures all fit together? Remember, the dragon's the anti-God, Satan. The beast is the antichrist, like Jesus. So the dragon's like God the Father. The beast is like God the Son. And then the false prophet, called the anti-spirit, is like the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I truly suspect right now the mainstream media is being set up for that. A lot of people say the Pope. I don't believe that. I think it's the mainstream media. It has this collective persona, this charm, this charismatic appeal. You know what I'm talking about? Think about it, you know? People get mesmerized when the TV's on. They even are like that when commercials. Watch people when the television's on. They even sit there transfixed to commercials. And you know why? Well, that's because these pulses coming from the image are 60 hertz. And what it does is it triggers this hypnotic brain state. But that's another message for another day, folks. I don't have time to get into that now. I'm going to run out of time here as it is. I have so much information I want to cover with you here. And I can go down all these little rabbit paths, and they're all so interesting, but we got to stay focused. So my point here is there's a time coming when the true church, the bride of Christ, okay, those who died to self and are now living for Christ, those abiding in him like a branch abides in the vine, they're going to be taken out. And the reason I distinguish that is there's a lot of people in what I generally call Christendom that don't fit that description. I think they're going to be left behind. So when this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, stands back and the leash on Satan's loosened, his mastery is going to be released upon this earth, and look out. Satan's going to have his way with this world for a season through his son, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition. And then I'm telling you, the fifth truth that Paul's revealing here, the misery of man, it'll be redoubled. So after the mastery of Satan's released through the Antichrist, this misery that the mankind that didn't get taken with Jesus in the rapture, is going to be redoubled. Listen to verses 11 and 12 out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, and they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So who does God send this strong delusion to? Well, those that heard the truth and rejected it. And you see that happening all over the world today, folks, with all these crazy things about gender and sexuality and marriage. I can go on and on and on. Abortion, those who heard the truth and instead preferred their own sinful desires rather than Jesus. This reminds me of these verses out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I want to share them with you. And I'm running out of time here, but this is a powerful passage. I just want to read it for you. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Don't we see that? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Did you hear that? Having a form of godliness. Did you get that? Having a form of godliness but denying the power therein. Now, how many people like that do you see coming to church every week? How many? Remember, I've said this many times before. The worst kind of treason is doing the right thing for the wrong reason. It's the wheat and tares thing. Jesus taught on the wheat and tares. But don't worry about it, folks. Yes, there are hypocrites in the church, but God's going to make it all right. He's going to send his angels, and he's going to separate the wheat from the tares. So you don't worry about that. I'm just warning you that when the Antichrist comes, he's going to turn this world into a giant prison camp. Okay? And all who are left behind, they're going to get numbered. In fact, it's already underway. You can see it. We have sobriety checkpoints, TSA checkpoints, the Patriot Act. We have these RFID chips, smart cards, smartphones. And folks, by the way, do you know what SMART stands for? S-M-A-R-T, smart card, smartphone. It's not what you think it is. You know, the deep state, the powers to be, the intelligence community, they have a term for SMART. It stands for surveillance masked as routine technology. S-M-A-R-T, surveillance masked as routine technology. So they track you with those phones. They track your purchases with those chips in your card. They can call up an entire dossier with you by just pinging your smartphone and your smart card. Now, I could go on and on with this. It's been happening for quite some time. In fact, did you realize that Social Security was a key to all of this? And when it began, it wasn't supposed to be used as an ID. And if you don't believe me, just ask me to show you my Social Security card. My card says so right on it. It was issued to me when I was a child. My dad went and got us all our Social Security cards dutifully. Didn't have to, but he did. And I got mine back in the 60s. And you know, it says right on it, not to be used for identification purposes. But how many times today do you hear people say, sir, can I have the last four of your soch? I hear that all the time. It makes me want to puke. What lies? You know, what perfidy? Folks, I'm telling you, they're getting ready to number us. This war on terror is making the average American give up their liberty for some false sense of security. It makes me sick, you know. Benjamin Franklin said, a woman said, what have you wrought? And he said, we wrought a republic, if you can keep it. And the way it's taken from the people is promise and security if you just give up a little bit of your liberty. Do you know about 7 years ago, President Obama signed a law? Okay, he empowered this law, which gave the army authority to arrest any American without a warrant and without the right to habeas corpus. It's called the Indefinite Detention Bill, and it passed the Senate on December 16th, 2011. You could read about it. If you're interested, send me an email and I'll send you some links to it. But have you ever heard about this on the mainstream media? Or did you know that the AMA and Big Pharma, and if you watch the evening news, you probably see this, all these ads for this drug for toenail fungus, this one for breast cancer, this one if you have an upset stomach, this one if you have hair loss, this one if you have erectile dysfunction. They got a drug for everything, okay? But this Big Pharma was started by Rockefeller and Carnegie in their foundations over 100 years ago. Why? To promote drugs as the dominant form of medicine over any form of natural therapy, okay? To treat chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, cancer. Now, they did a really good job, okay, getting rid of infectious disease. Because antibiotics are a good thing. But you get in some of this other stuff, and the bad food and all this, and what do you end up with? You end up with a bunch of sick people, chronically sick people, that are just being treated for their symptoms, but not the root cause. How? And I'm talking about cancer. I'm talking about diabetes. I'm talking about heart disease, the big three. And you know what? The symptom is being treated. Oh, you have high blood pressure, take this pill. Oh, you have high sugar, take this pill. Oh, it's pill's not working, let's give you a shot. They're not going after the root cause. They even do that with cancer treatment. Oh, we're going to blast that tumor. We're going to poison that tumor. We're going to cut that tumor out. Well, guess what? That tumor is just a manifestation, okay? A symptom, okay? An outgrowth of a system in imbalance. The body needs to be brought back into stasis, okay, or balance. But Big Pharma doesn't do that. You can see how this all started. Just search for the Flexner report and read about it. And all these commercials during the evening news, these drug ads, oh my. It's sick. It's sickening. I like what Dr. Bragg's, you know, Bragg's apple cider vinegar, what Dr. Bragg's always used to say, the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. Folks, I'm telling you, the mainstream media's purpose isn't to inform, it's to vex and to enslave. Now, I digress there, but just think about that for a while, okay? We're in preparation right now by the deep state to turn this world into a prison planet on a global scale. I'm telling you that no one has ever imagined or seen, so that the Antichrist can wage war on man. The control grid's in place, and it's all run by computers and what's known as AI, artificial intelligence. It's all in place. They even have a computer over in Brussels called the Beast. And I remember a quote I read a while back, and I can't even remember where I found it. I just wrote it down, and I love it. The more machines act like men, the more men will act like machines. Now, isn't that true? You ever see people walking around just on a street or in the mall? They all got their little smartphones, and they're all got their heads down. They look like little zombies. They're so regimented, okay, in their daily lives. The control grid's in place, so beware. The clamps are closing, you know? We got to realize, though, that there's hope. And why is that? Because I'm telling you, as this all's going down, praise the Lord, the majesty of Jesus will be, it's going to be revealed. Praise the Lord. Now, a lot of people say, Bro Ken, you're a pessimist. You talk about all this dark stuff. No, I'm not. I'm a realist, folks. I'm a student of the Bible. And most importantly, a bond slave to Jesus Christ. I've surrendered my life to Jesus, folks. These facts, these factoids, this information I'm giving you, these are signs of the times, and they ought to give us great joy, great hope, because they herald the soon return of our King, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They do. It's all there. Paul didn't write these things to scare people. No, he wrote them to comfort believers. So if this scares you, the question isn't, is it true? The question ought to be, who should I trust? Folks, are you trusting yourself, society, government, your doctors, or even Satan? Through the media, or maybe a dark religion, you know, dark sentences? Or do you trust the Word of God, also known as Jesus, the Word made flesh? Remember, his faith, F-A-I-T-H, true saving faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, not your faith, not the faith you have to turn on a light and switch and the light's going to come on, or turn the tap water and it's going to be safe to drink. That's carnal faith. Everybody's been given a measure of that faith. Our true saving faith is when we can boldly and confidently declare, forsaking all, put your hands up, folks, forsaking all, I trust him, and that him is Jesus. So do you trust Jesus? Folks, when all this darkness of Satan is unleashed upon this world, in truth, it's only black velvet that this beautiful diamond of his glory is going to be placed upon and shine all the more brighter. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I love that, folks. Jesus shall consume him with his word. Now, the brightness literally means the outshining, the glory, the majesty of his coming. You see this? This is awesome. The key to this whole message, folks, is to understand that there's two parts to the coming of Jesus. First, he's going to come back like a thief in the night for his bride, the true church, the church of Philadelphia. So read that passage out of second and third chapters of Revelation. Read all the report cards of the churches, all seven, okay, and see how you need to live individually. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he's coming back for those who were right with him. He's coming back for his bride. And then notice how the next verse begins. And then, you hear that? And then go to verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And then shall the Antichrist, that wicked, be revealed. So it's after our Lord comes for his bride. Folks, that's not mid-trib. That's pre-trib. Now, one reason some have a problem understanding this, because it wasn't taught in the Old Testament. So that's you know, a lot of the confusion over the rapture. This is a mystery revealed by Paul. He tells us that in his letter to the Corinthians. So the Old Testament prophets, they didn't understand the rapture. They understood the majesty of the Lord's return, but not the mystery of the rapture. That's why I'm saying there's two parts of this. First, he comes as a thief in the night. Then he comes with his glory revealed. Listen to what Paul said to the Corinthians in his first letter, chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. And I gotta hurry up here. I'm running out of time. Behold, I show you a mystery. Ye shall not all sleep, but ye shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Folks, I'm telling you, that's the mystery of the rapture. So there is a mystery of his coming, and it's the rapture. And then there's the great majesty of his coming, and that's the revelation. when he will come in brightness, power, and great glory with 10,000s of his saints. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that describe his coming in a variety of very figurative ways. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, Jesus said, like lightning. So it's going to be a bolt of blue out of the sky. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, secretly, like a thief. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, sovereignly. Well, you can't come secretly and sovereignly at the same time. So once he comes as a thief and then as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I'm telling you, the Antichrist will be destroyed. How? By his word and the brightness of his coming. So literally, at the world's darkest hour, when the Antichrist is on the throne in Jerusalem and the Hebrews are being persecuted, then he's going to return. As all the people of the world are enslaved, then in his glory, his full glory, he's going to return. And by the power of his very word, all the forces aligned against him in battle, the battle of Armageddon, they're all going to fall. Picture this, all the bombs, the fighter jets, the drones, the Star Wars gadgets, you know, the lasers, they're all going to fall to the brightness of his glory and his word. The Bible says he will slay them with the sword that goeth out of his mouth. So the question is, are you rapture ready, folks? And how do you tell? Well, ask yourself this question. Just ask yourself this. Do you love Jesus? If not, repent and then trust and then obey. Folks, there's no other way. I tell you, I love y'all and I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave you. I don't want any of you to be left behind. So if you say you love Jesus, ask yourself this next question, okay? Has there ever been a day that you love Jesus more than you do right now? And if so, I'm telling you, you're backsliding. Now, I know that may sound harsh, but that's how it starts, little by little. So if so, just repent and then trust and then obey. Repent and trust. Repent and trust. Okay? And then trust and obey. There's no other way, folks. Folks, I do love y'all, and it's important that you know that someone much greater, much, much greater than any of us could ever imagine loves you too, and that is Jesus. And he's given you a name. He calls you by name. He calls his sheep by name. He knows you. He has the hairs on your head numbered. And he's calling you to him today. So answer his call while there's still time, okay? And don't be left behind, okay? So take this day and get ready, because we're like in the days of Noah right now. And then provided we're still here next week, the Lord didn't come back yet, and he's willing, I'll be back with another message in this soon return of Jesus. Folks, I love y'all.
Time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. And time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside. As in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, they'll be drinking, marrying, laughing. As in the days of Noah, what a fool, they say, to build a boat on sand. What a fool, they say. Coming of the Son of Man. And what a fool, they say, to fast and pray. And what a fool, they say, come on, it's been 2,000 years. Do you really think that he's coming? Come on, let's just get real. But remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late. It's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. It's never rained before. The 1 day, 2 days, 3 days gone by. And time is ticking by, and I can feel. an explosion inside. People get ready, Jesus is coming. And many, 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 many scoffers will rise in their